Blog Talk Radio.
You've seen them talk on Twitter. You've seen the articles around the web. Now, hear them live. It's the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable on the Fantasy Sports Channel on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Jim Day. You know him as Fantasy Taz on Twitter. Go ahead, give him a tweet. Now, here's your host, Jim Day.
Hey, everybody, it's another Saturday night. That means we got another two-hour Twitter Roundtable for you tonight. Got some great guests coming on. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about a lot of fantasy football, and it's just going to be hyped up all over the board. We don't care about lockouts around here. We don't care about any of that. We're going to talk fantasy football until we drop. And speaking of that, let's bring on the co-host, Mr. Andy Miley. Andy, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Jim. It's just exciting to talk about football and not the rapture. I've had enough rapture talk for at least, what is it, until December of 2012?
Okay, well, that's if that's what you think, but, you know, it
well,
is what it is.
Well, that's been reported on Twitter. That's
fine.
I'm just saying the same thing.
Well, there you go, and you heard it here, folks. I could care less either way. I just don't even get me started about religion in any way, shape, or form. So let's keep moving. One of the things that I hate about this lockout going on right now and everything is that all these writers out there, the professional writers that are out there paid to write, are looking for things to write about. There, anything they can grab on, no matter how, you know, how thin a thread it is, they're going to grab it and they're going to write a big, full, blown-out thing about it and start rumors galore, which just makes us crazy. And the one that just really jumped out at me this week was Brady Quinn was in the mix to start in Denver. I mean, what? Give me a break.
Well,
do you give any credence to this?
Well, if something happens to the two quarterbacks in front of course. I don't think they have – I don't think Eric Decker can control the ball. So, you know, if something happens to the first two, yeah, he's in the mix. But until something happens
– No, they said he was in the mix to start.
Right. I think they made an error. I think they meant to say if something happens to Orton or if the rapture takes Tebow, then I think is what they meant.
Okay, for someone who doesn't want to talk about the rapture, are you going to bring it up in like every answer?
Could be. You never know.
Well, I'm just glad we got a mute button, folks. It's just how it works. But you know what? I can't give any credence into this. Whether the team likes Tebow or not, if the new management doesn't like Tebow, then they're not going to get rid of Orton. It's as simple as that. And I don't see any way in hell that Brady Quinn can beat out Kyle Orton.
I don't think there's any way he can either. But right now, if they get a very tempting offer for Orton, I don't know what his contract situation is, but if they can get, I think they're going to ask. They're not going to ask for something small. I think they're going to ask for a second or third round pick to get him. And with a team that's rebuilding, who probably, if they trade Orton, is going to be in the luck scenario for next year, why not trade Orton and just say, to heck with it, we're rebuilding this year. We've got a brand new head coach. He's going to build the team how he wants to build it, and we're just going to give him a year to tear it down so he can bring it back up.
Well, Orton, as of now, is a free agent in 2012, but at the same time, Orton's only 28. So, again, if they don't think that Tebow is the answer long-term, I can't see them giving Orton up whether they get a second-round pick or not.
Well, and I agree, but I think the whole thing that Elway, who's now running the team, has said that he's not totally convinced that Tebow is the answer. And if Tebow's not the answer, I don't think he believes Orton is either. I mean, if Orton's going to leave next year and you don't want him to have the starting job because he doesn't fit your plan, I mean, John Fox doesn't ask a lot out of his quarterback, so you would hope Orton would be able to handle everything. But since they're having issues with that, you would think Tebow would be able to run a wishbone. I mean, that's what Fox really does. other than throw a ball here or there, doesn't use tight ends.
Well, I don't know if Fox runs a wishbone. You know, it might have gotten close to that just because of the talent they had, or, you know, limited talent they had on the team at the time. But, you know, I mean, when DeLone was throwing well, they were throwing. They'd get the ball out there, especially with Steve Smith and DeLone when they were in their prime.
But they only used Steve Smith. They didn't use anybody but Steve Smith.
They didn't
Smith.
Really have anybody but Steve Smith. Let's face it, go back through the names, go back through the years. There was nobody else there.
No, they had decent tight ends, and he didn't use them there.
Well, we weren't talking about tight ends until a second ago, so I wasn't really talking about that. I was talking more wide receivers. But you know what? It is what it is. I can't see Brady Quinn starting out there, folks. So if you heard the thing and you started freaking out, I don't put much credence in. I wouldn't go grabbing him, trying to hold on to him, wishing for the best. I just don't see it happening. Orton or Tebow will be the starters there. It's almost a guarantee. So with that being said, we do have our first guest on the line waiting to come on. And this is a gentleman that I just recently got to know not too long ago. And all of a sudden now we are partners in two new websites. One is GoAheadScore.com, and the other is TwitterFantasyFootball.com. If you haven't checked them out, please do. But this is the brains behind it, Mr. Simon Shepherd. Simon, are you out there?
Hey, Jim. Yeah, I'm here doing well. It's very nice of you to call me the brains. That's the best compliment I've had all day.
Okay, well, the brains better stop flipping all those papers around.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's just a bit of desperate last-minute prep going on.
Well, we brought Simon on because, like I said, him and I are working on a new site called GoAheadScore.com, and we want to get people to know about it. So I want Simon to give us a little information on what he's got going on over there. We're bringing all kinds of new tools, or trying to bring new tools to you, and we're really looking to get a lot of integration with Go Ahead Score and any My Fantasy League leagues that you currently have. What we're trying to do is we're going to make Go Ahead Score your one-stop shop for My Fantasy Leagues, where it tells you everything about who's up to draft, whether you're up, how long you've been up, how long until you're up. It tells you everything, current ADPs of that draft, players that haven't been drafted yet, and their current ADPs, all of this from Go Ahead Score before even going to My Fantasy League. So I'm going to let Simon do some talking here now and give you a little insight into what he did.
Yeah, well, you better put a timer on me, because you know what I'm like. I'll just go on and on and on. But, the Draftmaster stuff is really interesting. We've done a lot of work on that. One of the things that I think is quite cool is that My Fantasy League exposed all the data to coders like me. So I've gone in there and grabbed all the information out when people have picked players and plotted it all on graphs. So if you go on Go Ahead Score and search at the top in the players box for Pierre Thomas, for instance, you can see a jump up in his ADP when he signed a new contract, and then a drop down again when Mark Ingram's drafted at the end of the first round of the NFL draft. So stuff like that's quite cool for people who want to see what factors affect ADPs and where players get drafted. And we can also tweet in these drafts as well. So from your account, so when you go and pick from the High Fantasy League, and a few minutes later you'll find Go Ahead and start with heading those tweets.
Sorry, having some technical difficulties over here. Bear with me a second.
I can hear some muffling. I'm more than happy just to carry on chatting.
Well, please do for a second while I figure something out here.
Yeah, so that's the Draftmaster stuff. So recently we've made a few changes as well. So you can add your own My Fantasy League leagues in, so the non-Draftmaster ones that Jim set up as well. And we're working shortly on being able to monitor the quick drafts that you have on My Fantasy League as well. So I guess that leads into the app, which is coming out soon, and we've just had the first round of testing going on with that. So that's something we've been kind of all hands on deck with. Jim's been off writing data to go into the app, so player outlooks for 2011 and reviews for 2010, and we've got preseason rankings, and we've got all the players ranked by position, and all of that data goes into this iPhone and eventually Android app, and it very cleverly by worst starter principles and all this kind of stuff tells you which player to pick at any point in your draft, and you can kind of track your drafts going on and live and get all this information. So really my main aim with this app is to kill these horrible cheat sheets that you see people fiddling around with in the middle of drafts, because they wind me up and I'm sure they wind everyone else up as well. So death to cheat sheets, and that's what we're hoping to get to with the app.
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping that you'll be able to do everything for your My Fantasy League drafts, at least for now, My Fantasy League drafts, right from the phone without having to go anywhere else. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. So we know that you had a few people testing this week. Who was helping you out?
Yeah, there's some really helpful guys who have been involved and kindly given us some of their time. So Colin, who's on Twitter at WalrusCP, he's been involved in some of the drafts, as most of these guys have. So he's got us going with some pretty cool testing software. So Apple are notoriously difficult to get stuff on iPhones and stuff. So that was a really cool suggestion from him, and he's done some great technical testing. Jarrett, who's also on Twitter at IotheGator, he came up with some great suggestions as how we can improve the app, and loads of other guys as well, Victor, Chris Hansen, Nino, James, they've also all got involved in and been really useful. It's just great to have input from people, and know that it's appreciated, and it's really useful.
Well, excellent. Andy, you got any questions or anything for Simon or for anything about Go Ahead Score?
No, I find it very useful. I just signed up for it and did the contest to try to win a free league. But there's a lot of good information there, and I'm enjoying using it. Being in, I think right now I'm in 9 leagues on My Fantasy League. Also on top of the Draft Masters and Draft Masters Expert stuff and Joe Ebert's leagues that are mock drafts that are going on. So it's a nice, useful thing to keep track of everything. So, good job. Keep it up.
Well, we're trying. Simon is a coding fool. If it's out there and the way can be done, Simon will find a way to do it, I'm finding. And I like that. It's something I've been missing for a while now. So hopefully the combination will work out just fine.
And actually, I just thought of another question.
Okay.
I guess my question, Simon, is, if you are collecting all this data on someone and how the drafts are going, could you think in time you could accurately predict how someone was going to draft?
Well, you mean how a player's ADP is going to change and stuff? Or?
No, I'm saying let's say someone, Jim, who's in all these different draft masters, he's probably going to have a pattern of where he picks someone and how many times that he individually that you could actually reflect and go, well, you tend to pick this person in this round, like a particular individual, you would be able to track it that much.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what are we on now, Jim? What number are we on, 76 or something like
76.
That?
76, yeah, 76.
So there's a lot of data out there. And when we first set this up, I think we were on about 30 or 40. And I remember saying to Jim then that one of the ideas that I had is we could kind of have bar charts for, how often you're drafting each player. For instance, my LeSean McCoy bar chart would have gone up quite a bit in the last week or so. So certainly from that, you could start predicting what people are going to do. It's actually something that's already built into the app, not on a, per individual basis, but one of the things that the app does in the background when it's advising you on which player to take is it looks at all the people who are going to draft between the pick you're currently selecting and the next time you'll have a pick, and tries to work out what each of those guys are going to do at that spot, which player are they going to take. And then what it does is it feeds back to you the information on each player for what percentage chance you have that guy will still be around when you next select. So a lot of that stuff's already going on in the background, but yeah, it would be great to work that in to try and predict Jim. We could even make like a Jim bot that just drafts Arian Foster number one for him every time, you know, as he likes. Just replicates his picks.
Well, you know what? I kind of like that, because what I could see now is what we could do, and this would be just between me and you, Simon. We don't have to tell anybody else about this. But all the people that sign up at Go Ahead Score that have their leagues, if they're in other leagues with me, then I can use the software to develop a test against them on who they'll pick, and it should only help my drafts.
Well, there you
but
go.
Don't tell anybody else about it. That'll be just between you and I.
The problem is, though, Jim, that you're the one who's picked the most on Go Ahead Score, so there's the most data available for you. So as soon as we start getting involved in predicting people, you're the one that's going to lose. But, you know, I'm sure you'll find a way.
Yeah, but you can't predict me. I don't care what kind of software you have. If you go back and look at that, you're not going to find many patterns. I've done so many different varieties of drafts in each of these drafts. There's not going to be a heck of a lot of patterns, except for the fact that I take a kicker in round 15 and a defense in round 16 in every one.
Yeah, true. I mean, I think I started out like that as well, trying to do lots of strategies and stuff. And then as time goes on, I kind of think, oh, I want to stick to my rankings now. You know, I want to stick to where I have my guys. Because at the end of the year, I don't want to, you know, average out to be dead in the middle of these drafts, which is what will happen if you kind of pick left, right, and center. So I'm sticking to my guns on some picks now, and I'll, you know, either win them all or lose them all, but that's the way.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to have to figure out something to give somebody who comes up with the best average drafts.
Yeah, absolutely, that's another thing as well. But as soon as the season kicks in, we'll have all kinds of tools on the site so that you can track how you're doing in each week. You know, you'll be able to log into Go Ahead Score and have all your leagues on one page, and you know, all the draft master ones and everything, and see what your matchup score is on that week. And we'll have all kinds of stats going, like, you know, how of your draft master leagues, what your average league position is, and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah.
Well, and I just thought of an idea, is you could actually have Taz go against, like, Cyber Taz and have him actually in the draft to draft against himself.
I once thought about, you laugh, but I once actually thought about doing a 12-team draft just by me and literally trying to step into each team and make that the best team and see what happened. I might have to do that.
Well, you can do that on the app.
Yeah, I could do that on the app, right? Good point.
But you know what? I used to do that when we didn't have the computers, when all we had was fantasy magazines. That's how I prepare for my draft.
And that's why you never had any girlfriends back then.
Well, you know what? That's not what your wife said, but let's go ahead.
Hey, that's okay. I'll send her up to you right now, dude. Go for it. Knock yourself out. You didn't expect that, did you?
I think the rock just hit Andy.
And we digress. But, Simon, you know, give us a quick thing of what we can expect to see, you know, over the next couple of months, and any new improvements you have in store or in your mind so far.
Wow, okay. Well, one thing that we haven't mentioned that's worth a brief mention, that's something that's already there, is Twitter Fantasy Football. So what the site's already doing in the background is this is on Go Ahead Score and a separate site, twitterfantasyfootball.com. It's going onto Twitter, and we've given it certain Twitter accounts to follow and certain searches to make, drawing loads of data off and filtering it down into players and teams. So if it finds the word Denver Broncos and Tebow, it's going to tag that with that team and player. So what that means is you can go onto Twitter Fantasy Football, search for a player, and see all the latest tweets on that player. So we're hoping that during the season, that's quite a useful resource to work out latest injury news and, you know, what the news is on a certain player. So going forward with other stuff, I mean, the next big kind of fantasy thing that's going on is when we've got this lockout sorted, people are going to be drafting their leagues. So we've got the app coming out for that, so you'll be able to get that soon in the Apple App Store, hopefully, if they approve it, which I'm sure they will, and then it will be out on Android shortly after. And then we'll have all kinds of drafting resources on the site. So it'll be definitely, you know, it's going to be a great resource for fantasy drafts. You know, I know that I've done some work on it, and Jim's doing some work now on writing Outlook text for all the players. So I'll have a paragraph or two on all the fantasy relevant players, you know, saying what our outlook is for this year, per game projections, upside ratings, injury risks, roster risks, all this kind of stuff. So,
you know, it's kind of funny, though. I find that that paragraph or two on the profiles is turning into 3, 4, 5 for some of them.
It's difficult to stop writing when there's just so much information to put down. It's great.
But the more information we give them, the better off it is.
Oh, absolutely. And all of that info feeds through into the app as well. And that'll update itself. You know, there'll be a little thing on the app so you can sync your data on the app with Go Ahead Score and get all the latest data and projections and stuff as well.
Well, that's it, folks. This is Mr. Simon Shepherd. He is, again, the brains behind Go Ahead Score and TwitterFantasyFootball.com. I am just the cute face they put on the cover to sell more. But he is.
No,
man,
you're the brawn, Jim. I'm the brain. Yeah. You're the brawn. That's how it works.
And you can follow him on Twitter at Go Ahead Score, and I suggest you do that. We've got lots of new stuff coming up over the next couple of months, so I would definitely suggest you give it a try. Look at TwitterFantasyFootball.com. It's something I used to do on my old site, The Wiz, by hand, that we now do automatically, again, thanks to Simon. But basically, search by team, search by player. You get all the tweets you want of all the players you're looking for, all the info. All the beat writers are in there, so we get all of that info. You should definitely check it out. It's much easier than sitting on Twitter all day like Andy and I do for the most part. So, well, thank you, guys. I definitely appreciate you coming on. I know it's late for you at home, so go get some sleep. And we're going to move on to our second guest. And, Andy, I'm going to let you introduce him since you went out and got him.
Yes, this is Jeff Pasquino. Hopefully, Jeff, I didn't slaughter your last name. Football Guys and Dynasty Guys. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, very Jeff,
good.
Welcome.
Good, and you got my name just perfect, Pasquino.
Fantastic. You know, being from Ohio and then moving to Maine, there aren't that many names that aren't, you know, Smith and, you know, just extremely common names. So I'm glad I got that right. And one of the reasons we brought you in tonight was because you wrote for Football Guys, and I know you also had it on Dynasty Guys, the 2011 Dynasty Draft List, but you had your top 50 offensive rookies on there. And I know Bloom had written his post top 100 that also included IDPs. So there was a couple players that I kind of wanted you to talk more about because they were different from Bloom. And most of these, after I kind of did some research, they're kind of closer to what I had on mine. So, first of all, I should probably just let you talk a little bit about Dynasty Guys.
Dynasty Guys is something I started with a couple guys like Derek Ton, and I started it last year. It's kind of an off-season mostly site, it's a nice supplement to Football Guys, but we're starting to do a little bit more year-round stuff. But it's a nice place to keep some dynasty things going because it's really year-round. Football Guys kind of emphasizes the redraft for the most part. They do some dynasty coverage, and it's pretty good. I'm part of it, so I have to say it's pretty good. But we do the stuff all year-round, there's that lull where a lot of guys like to take some time off in January to May to, you know, collect themselves and regroup, and I can completely respect that and understand that, but yeah, that's prime time for Dynasty, especially when you're ramping up towards the rookie draft. So it was just another place for me to have an outlet to put some articles up and also do some creative rankings that I do with some complex math that I do over there. And the funny thing about that, and it's kind of cool to see the tool. I use some Google Docs to build that tool and a couple of trade calculators, and it's been fun to do that. But it's kind of nice to see that the math kind of matches what I would normally say to begin with, which is kind of the point of making a tool. It's basically to be there to speak for me when I'm not there. So it's always nice when I plug in what I think is a ranking should be and look at it. And say, yeah, that does kind of look right. So it's as with most tools, they don't necessarily give you 100% of the answer, but it's a great starting point.
And that's great. It almost sounded like, I don't know if you know Mike Clay from Pro Football Focus, but he also takes more of a mathematical kind of approach as well. So it's good to see, instead of just looking and figuring it out, you're actually taking also projections and putting them together to come up with your ranking. So, and that seems to be kind of more the logic based than just kind of what we see and what we think. So I applaud you for that. I wish I was a little bit more mathematical for that, but I'm an accountant by trade, so numbers start to make me crazy after a while. I have to step away.
Well, I like to walk that line. I was an engineer by schooling, so I got a lot of math in the background there, but I also trust my eyes. So I kind of sometimes I go with what I see, and sometimes I go with what the math tells me, and I use both sides of my brain to kind of compare and contrast what the other side is trying to tell me at the given moment.
Okay. So
I got to jump in here, guys, while we're talking about this. So I understand stats are useful, and this is the argument I always have with Mike Clay. Stats are useful to a point. The one thing I hate about stats is if you're really good at stats, you can find stats to use for any side of an argument for any player. There's always going to be positives and there's always going to be negatives if you dig hard enough. So, you know, to just totally rely on stats, which a lot of people do, I think is just a bad way to go about playing this game.
I agree with that, and that's why I don't take them at face value. I take them, I look at them, and I say, why is that number telling me what it's telling me? Why is that guy so high on this list? Is the list valid, or is it really trying to say, hey, go take a harder look at this guy? So that it doesn't, and also if I say, hey, that guy looks really good, let me go and look and see if that's just a one-off performance or are there numbers that I'm missing. So you got to look at both arguments. I agree that stats can lie, unless it's DeMarcus Russell. We know what that answer is. But for the most part, stats and numbers can lie in a lot of different ways. So you got to look at both sides of the argument.
Right, no, absolutely. But that the problem to me is there's a lot of people out there that just rely on the stats. And, you know, if you try to tell them that they need to think past the stats, they just don't do it.
Right. And when I start hearing, you know, VORP and DVOA and all this other stuff, I'm like, dude, you know, put down the abacus and watch a little football for a little while. Just it's okay.
I'm with you on that. Cool. Very good. Go ahead, Andy.
All right.
I'm sorry. I just had to get that in there.
No problem. Let's just go ahead and jump into some players. You had Kansas City's Jonathan Baldwin ranked at 9. Both Bloom and I had him ranked at 16. What are you seeing from Baldwin that you think he's going to excel this year or throughout?
This is a little bit more about opportunity than anything. I think that right now Kansas City really needs a player to stretch the field and take some of the pressure away from what's going on, you know, putting 8 in the box against Jamaal Charles. So they've been putting, you know, dregs out there at wide receiver too. Now they've finally got a guy who can do something, and they've also got Dwayne Bowe, who had gobbled up a ton of targets last year, who may be leaving on a contract issue in the future. So this is an opportunity for him. But Baldwin and Cobb and Hankerson, these three or four wide receivers right here, Little as well, I'll throw him in. Once you get beyond the top two wide receivers, you get that second tier of guys that are late first-round rookie picks that it's really, you know, you got to say, do I like this guy or don't I like this guy, and kind of go with your gut when you're in this tier.
Okay.
I got to jump in. My gut is saying, I don't like Jonathan Baldwin. I don't like him as a player. I just think he's going to be one of those prima donna types that's just not going to put the effort in. I don't like where he landed because I'm not sure Castle's going to be able to get him the ball deep enough downfield to make him viable. I just don't see it.
Well, if he's not getting the ball deep enough, then how did Bowe get it?
How did who?
How did Dwayne Bowe get it then?
A lot of Bowe's passes weren't totally deep passes. A lot of them were, you know, 10, 15, 16-yard passes that he turned into big plays.
Okay. All right. Well, I think, like I said, I think that there's enough there for the ball to spread around. And I think Castle gets a lot of bad respect as far as what he's doing there. He's putting up pretty decent numbers. He doesn't look all that impressive all the time, but he can make most of the throws.
Yeah, he just scares me. And it's more, I mean, I understand about the opportunity, absolutely. If he steps in, if he gets his head straight and puts in the effort, I mean, the opportunity is there. But just the combination of the opportunity, and again, I'm just not sold on Castle making those deep throws. I think that really affects him long term, and I just don't. I'm going to let somebody else take the chance on him come rookie drafts almost every time.
And I'm not disagreeing there. And I'm, for the most part, I haven't been taking him at that point, but that's where I have him as falling in, which is actually pretty low for a first round draft pick. I mean, he was taken in the first round by Kansas City. Most of the times you would say, hey, a wide receiver in the first round is pretty good value, and this guy is not. He's way down there below some guys, some running backs. I get him below some running backs taken in the third round.
Totally understand that. But the other side of the coin is many felt that he was a reach in the first round anyway.
That is true as well. But, again, this is about the opportunity that Kansas City sees something in him. But, you know, he could be the next Chris Henry. You just don't know. I mean,
yeah, no, and I'm right. I mean, absolutely, there's no, you know, he could go either way. There's no doubt about it. If he get, like I said, if he gets his head on straight, he has the talent to be a player if he wants to be that player. And I'm just, you know, those type of guys just scare me usually. I'm not a big fan of prima donnas.
Well, no, and I understand this, and it just seems to be going a pointless kind of back and forth right now. But and I see Baldwin as kind of being somewhere in between Vincent Jackson and also Malcolm Floyd. I just see him more on the Malcolm Floyd kind of end, that he isn't the explosive receiver. But you know what? If Bo leaves, Castle needs somebody to throw to, and you're taking that into effect with your rankings, and I totally understand that. So we're going to move ahead to the next one on the list, and I had Halu, or however you call him. You had him at 25. I actually had him at 24. Bloom had him at 50. And he also, at 24, he started putting IDP players in there. What about Helu's game do you see doing well? Is it just the Shanahanigans, or is there something that you're seeing particularly in him?
Well, this is actually below where he's usually going. I mean, a lot of guys are taking him in the first round, which is scaring the heck out of me. I just don't see it. But, I mean, so this, you know, he put him at 25, 24 really isn't going to matter because he's not going to make it there. Because mostly I've seen a lot of first round, late first round, early second round picks for Helu, which are guys buying into the hype on this guy. Yes, the Shanahan traded up for him. Yes, you know, he could be the next Shanahan back. But Shanahan, unless he's Clinton Portis, the guy is going to just use him, abuse him, and then throw him away. It's not going to be a lasting relationship there. There's Helu there. There's Terrain there. There's, you know, you got
Keelan Williams.
James Davis.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other guys still under contract, too. So I think, yeah, and you got Evan Royster, who got added late. So all
yeah,
those
Royster.
Guys. I mean, who knows who could be the guy? I mean, he could play the hot hand. They don't have a quarterback to really balance the offense. So I could see the defenses, which are very good. You got some very good front fours in the NFC East. Philly, Dallas, and the Giants are all going to get good at stuffing the run. Yes, he's a good runner. Yes, he's good at hitting, you know, a one-cut scheme. But I don't think he's more responsible for the scheme. I think it was really his coordinator that used to run the line that's now in Houston now. I think that Shanahan is he's an okay drafter, but he's been known to reach before, you know, back with Claret a couple of years ago. So I think that Helu is a gimmick back, and you're going to regret him drafting him too early.
The other side of the coin, though, real quick, though, is you speaking about opportunity for Baldwin. There's absolutely opportunity for Helu, though. I mean,
absolutely.
Terrain is injured all the time. James Davis has already missed an entire year for injuries. You know, I mean, there's really nothing of true substance there that, you know, if one or two things doesn't fall right, he's all of a sudden is starting back.
Right, but how long is he keep a how long is that window of opportunity going to be open? He changes running backs like most people change their underwear. So it's not going to be, no matter who flashes in the pan, it's going to be quick and gone. So if you drafted him, I'd be, you know, if you wound up with him, which most people are really reaching for him, I'd be looking to trade him at the first peak.
I can't argue that. I like that thought, absolutely. Get him to have a game or two that's solid and just get rid of him.
Absolutely,
well,
and go pick up the next guy.
Yep.
Right. No, and I agree, too. He's been going at the back half of rookie drafts that I've been in so far, and all three that I've been in. That's where he's been going. He's been going at 1-9 anywhere to, like, 2-1 in a 14-teamer. He's just going way too high. But let's go ahead. Let's move on to the Baltimore wide receivers. And you have Tandon Doss and Torrey Smith basically within 12 draft positions of each other. What about their games kind of separates them from each other? And I know you're higher on Doss than either Bloom or I were, but what about Doss's game are you really enjoying, or are you seeing something that some of us are missing?
I think Doss is going to be the next Derek Mason. I think he's going to be a bit of that reliable receiver, that wide receiver too. He's going to be great in PPR leagues, who is going to be a nice big target over the middle that the quarterback loves. I think Joe Flacco he was given an assignment to go look at six different wide receivers that could be there on day two or day three. And he came back with one name, which was Tandon Doss. Go get me Tandon Doss, and I'll be really happy. So they're trying to give him the ball and let him be the leader of the offense, not Cam Cameron. And he's given the tools that he wants to work with. So 2 years from now, Bolden could be gone. We know Mason will be gone, and it'll be Torrey Smith going deep, and over the middle you'll have Doss.
Okay. So you.
So wait, did I miss something? Do you like Doss more than Torrey Smith?
No. I like Doss more than most people. I have Torrey Smith at pick 14 in PPR, and I have Doss at about 26.
Oh, okay, cool. That's pretty close to what I have. I have Torrey Smith at 13. And Doss, just around there. I have to look at the other section. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. I like Doss myself. I think once Mason does move out, I think Doss has a great chance to step in there and be a PPR monster in that offense.
And there's really nobody there behind them. There, I mean, Gushman's eye is going to be gone. You're going to have Dante Stallworth gone. So there's nobody else there. Those are the two guys that are going to inherit the starting jobs for sure.
I agree with you.
No, I just wanted that clarification, and that's interesting. I did not know that he actually picked out Tandon Doss, so that's very interesting.
Saw that story the other day, and that does actually, real quick, let's just touch on that, because think about that. He was given a chance to go out and scout his own wide receivers, and Doss was his first pick. That could be huge.
Exactly. I think those are the kind of guys, and, you know, you start hearing these things. You start hearing, like, the Gerald Jernigan could be the next Steve Smith in New York Giants. There's another sleeper you can kind of go grab. Those are the kind of things you got to listen for and hear and really say, like, you know, with that fourth or fifth round pick, when everybody else looking for the next running back, grab a guy like this that, you know, at least you know somebody in the organization really likes.
Yeah, and it's definitely helpful if it's the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Okay, Andy, who is next?
Greg Shallow.
Jeff keeps taking us off on these weird tangents. Jeff, stop it.
Greg Shallow, you have ranked 31st. Bloom had him at 14th, and I had him at 21st. What about him are you not liking? Because, you know, even on Football Guys message boards right now, it's the whole debate of is Shallow going to take over Danny Amendola's spot, or where is Shallow going to play? And obviously, with this lower ranking, you think he's more of a guy that's going to need to play himself onto the field, that he's not going to get an opportunity to start probably this year?
Well, this is more about opportunity than talent. I like Salas. I think he played well. I think he does well in Hawaii, a spread offense, and they throw the ball 1,000 times a week. But the new show in St. Louis is called 19 Wide Receivers and Counting. They've got wide receivers coming out of the woodwork. There's Amendola, there's Avery, there's Clayton who might sign again, there's Salas, there's DX, Denari Alexander. All these guys Gilliard is still on the roster. There's so many guys on the roster who could be the guy. They've changed the offense. Now you've got Josh McDaniels picking him out, which is a bonus to Salas because he was drafted that way. But now you're hearing stories that Amendola may get 100 catches. They really like Clayton. They want Avery back. Avery's working out with the Bradford in the offseason on their own right now. Who is to say who's going to be the guy? I don't know who the answer is. What I do know is that there's too many mouths to feed right now, and I'm not willing to take a risk that early on a guy like Greg Salas. I want to see a little bit more of how it shakes out.
Now, again, I got to jump in here real quick because I'm with you. I mean, I like Salas, but I'm one of the ones, and so far it seems like one of the only ones, that think long-term. I think Pettis is a better bet than Salas just because the red zone threat that Pettis could be, I mean, that's what he was in college. He was a huge red zone threat, something this team needs. And if that actually builds, he builds that rapport with Bradford to be that red zone threat, this kid could go on to have a seriously nice career.
Yeah, there's another receiver that could be in the mix. You just don't know. I mean, there's a legitimate case for six or seven wide receivers to not only be in the roster, but to start, and that's really confusing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely a situation you may want to stay away from. Hint, hint for the second hour. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, that, you know, they're talking up Kendricks right now. So I don't think that right now you have to worry about Pettis being a red zone threat. I think they're going to have it with Humanao Inouye. They're going to have it with Kendricks. And obviously they're going to have it with Steven Jackson and whoever back that they end up eventually filling in with. So I don't think right now, seeing what I saw with Pettis, this guy can't sink his hips. He can't get separation. Playing at Boise State, I don't think this guy's got much talent. On a dynasty team right now, I drafted Salas, but I drafted him, I think, at the 2-8. But I also have Avery, and I also have Amendola. I'm just hoping one of those three hits. Because if they hit, then they're going to be great. But it's almost like you got to take, like you were talking about, Jeff, with a whole 19 wide receivers, you have to take some sort of buckshot approach that you got to try to get a couple of these guys. And if you're able, if you already have a couple on your roster, take another shot at Salas. But if you don't have to be in that mix, maybe you don't.
Well, the right way to play it, in my mind, is to buy the St. Louis Passing Game Mutual Fund, known as Sam Bradford, and just assume that he's going to get thrown 900 times based on all the projections that everyone's seeing. So apparently he's going to have 560 completions and 27 touchdowns by week 8.
He's actually getting drafted like that in the Draft Masters, which is making me nuts. I mean, I loved him last year. Definitely the kid opened up everybody's eyes. But let's face it, I mean, he's being drafted ahead of guys like Eli Manning and Jay Cutler. And, you know, I can't see that yet. But on the other side of the coin about the receivers, right now the only true one that I feel totally comfortable with drafting is Amendola, because I don't see anybody else on the roster that's going to take his slot position away from him.
I think Salas has been talked about as taking over for Amendola, but now they're talking about Amendola now. So, again, there's a counterpoint to every wide receiver, every single wide receiver. Avery, he was hurt, now he's working out. Every one of Clayton, deep threat, but he's not even signed right now. So there's a counterpoint to every single one of them. It's crazy.
I hear you.
Plus, none of them are in training camp because we don't have training camp. So it's not like any of them know the offense that are going to have a leg up on anybody else. So they're going to have to fight it out, and they're going to have to prove it. We're just going to have to be, you know, watching practice reports and hearing everything that's coming out, you know, following whoever are the beat writers on Twitter that handle the Rams. We're going to have to do that because obviously this is going to be very convoluted for quite a bit of time. So let's go ahead and let's move on to
Well, wait, that brings me to another point we might as well talk about. I want to get Jeff's input. Jeff, the one thing that it's becoming clearer to me that the longer the lockout holds, the less impact these rookies are going to have at the start of the season. I mean, that's almost a given, don't you think?
I completely agree with that. You know, the only position I'm comfortable with is running back because it's not too hard to tell a guy which hole to hit. Which, on first and second down, you can tell a guy what to do as far as making a cut and run. blocking schemes on passing down, it's much more different. But
yeah, okay.
wide receiver is tough. It's tougher, but I think running backs are the only guys I'd really be comfortable with. But I think that a couple of extraordinary wide receivers, A.J. Green, Julio Jones, those guys are probably okay, but it's going to be really hard to expect much out of these rookies the first year.
See, now I'm the opposite. I think I have more faith in the wide receivers than the running backs just because of the blocking schemes and them not being ready for it. I mean, we've seen more rookie running backs not be able to take the field because they can't block, especially at this level. Half of them haven't even blocked in college yet. So that to me, I feel more comfortable with the wide receivers just because, you know, for the most part, I mean, you mentioned, of course, the top guys, but there's a few other guys that have fallen into pretty good situations. And we've seen over the last couple of years the rookie wide receivers outperform the rookie running backs.
That's a plus and a minus. You really have to know what the system is, because I'll tell you a story about Eddie Royal. Eddie Royal had a fantastic rookie year, and he did a fantastic job. But when Josh McDaniel got to there the second year, he fell apart. And the reason he fell apart is because McDaniel runs a read-and-react pass offense. So that's something that Royal had never done before. Royal always ran the route tree. He was given a route to run pre-snap, and he would run it. He was not used to reading a defense and going to the hole. So when he was asked to do that, he couldn't do that well, and that's why he had a terrible second year. So if that's the scheme that you run, which is what I was going to really stray me away from the St. Louis wide receivers, that could be a problem. So you got to really know what that guy is going to be running on his offense.
Right, but there's not a lot, especially with rookie wide receivers, there's not a lot of coaches out there that are going to expect these rookies to do that. So, that, you know, they're going to give these rookies those limited patterns to run and expect them to run them. But I still think they'll get on the field more often than the running backs if the running backs can't block.
That's true. It is easier to play on the perimeter of the field, but he also cuts two ways. A cornerback is going to know he's only going to see a few moves coming from that rookie.
True, but if that rookie's not the number one right off the bat, then he's got somebody else to worry about as well. But yeah, we could talk about this all day. I know Andy's sitting over there itching to talk about another player, so let's let him do that.
The next player that I want to talk about was the New York Jets, Bilal Powell. You had ranked 32nd, Bloom had 18th, and I had 15th. What about him? Do you not see him being ready? Or what about his game are you not liking?
I like his game, but I think he's got Sean Green right in front of him, and they're going to give him an opportunity to run. So I think that you could be looking at a Michael Turner entry to the league type situation where he's stuck behind. I'm not saying Sean Green's LaDainian Tomlinson. Do not quote me in saying that. But I'm saying Sean
we
Green
was about
is
to
be,
fight.
Sean Green is going to be blocking the way for Powell to get onto the field for probably a year, maybe more, because it's going to be Green's turn. So I'm not buying into the Joe McKnight story. I'm not buying that. But Tomlinson and Green are going to be the bulk of the work this year. And again, with the lockout now, it's going to be even worse for Plow to get on the field. I think long term, if Sean Green starts to fizzle, he's in a great opportunity right there. But I'm not jumping out of my chair to grab him over a few other backs I'd like in round two.
Okay, wait. Now, first of all, when did Sean Green not fizzle? It seems to me he's been fizzling since he's been here.
I mean,
it was his job to lose last year, and LT took it away from him.
To the full extent, I don't think he did. I think that Sean Green had plenty of contributions last year.
Yeah, more so when LT started to fade. Before
right.
that, he really wasn't doing much. And even then, when he got his chance, he wasn't doing much. He didn't surprise. I think Bilal Powell is this team's way of telling Green, you know, this is your year. You either step up or you're gone.
That could definitely be the case. And I think that you're looking at a Ryan Williams behind a Chris Beanie Wells type situation. I think Sean Green can react well to it. I think Beanie Wells is a bust. But there are some people who think completely opposite, and they love Powell to push Green out, and they think that Wells is going to hold Williams off.
I do think that Powell will push Green out. I am definitely one of those. I think by the end of this year, you're going to see Powell as a starter. You're going to see McKnight as the change of pace back. I just do. I do like McKnight. I know we didn't get to see much of him, but I do like him. And I just don't think much of Sean Green. He hasn't shown me much yet. And I think LT will be in the mix, but by the end of the year, you're going to see them, I think, coming back to Powell and McKnight as their guys. That's just how I see it. But, you know, it is a tough situation, and Green could step up, but I just haven't seen anything from him. On the other side of the coin, Beanie Wells, I don't even consider him in the mix anymore. I know they do, and I know they're going to try again, but I think Ryan Williams is just going to run right over him as soon as he gets on the field.
I agree. I have him probably the top back. I think he's going to do more than any other rookie. Well, I wouldn't say that this year, but I think long-term he's the potential to be the top back out of this class.
Oh, definitely opportunity.
All right, let's go ahead and jump to, you kind of had a glob, two different globs of rookie tight ends, and you had Rudolph at 36, Kendricks at 38, Stocker at 39, and Jordan Cameron at 43. What about these guys do you like, don't like? And, I mean, how well do they fit into the offenses that they're now going to?
Well, I think a lot of these guys fit, kind of. But the general consensus of why these guys are in the 30s and 40s, everywhere, everything I read, everything I saw, everything I did my research on said that the tight ends were just the dregs of this draft. So everybody's trying to pimp their own particular tight end right now, whether it be Jordan Cameron is the next big they're trying to say the next big Jimmy Graham everywhere. You know, Jordan Cameron's the next tight end that's going to be Jimmy Graham in Cleveland, or Virgil Green's going to be that guy in Denver, or you're going to hear that Lance Kendricks is going to be the next big tight end in St. Louis. Well, when did they get this talent to become those guys? I mean, yes, these guys have some talent, and that's why they were drafted, but that doesn't make them the multidimensional threats that Jimmy Graham or Antonio Gates or Tony Gonzalez is when they were coming into the league. There was a reason that these guys were given a C or a D grade as a talent pool overall, and that's why we need, you know, there is some talent and there is some opportunity to weigh in the whole transaction here, but until you give me a case that all these guys were drafted into a great situation to start right away and going to put up big numbers, I don't see it. You didn't have any tight end drafted in the first round for the first time in years. Kyle Rudolph was the first one, and he's got Shanko right in front of him. You got Kendricks coming in. Everybody's pimping him, but he's got 19 wide receivers to compete with a ball that's going to be thrown 1,000 times a game, apparently. Luke Stocker in Tennessee for Tampa Bay, who knows there? Kellen Winslow's in front of him, and he's got good wide receivers. So Jordan Cameron has got Ben Watson in front of him, and they just added a legitimate wide receiver for a change in Cleveland. So, again, and do you really believe in the quarterback in Cleveland yet? So there's so many reasons not to love these guys. I understand that everybody's trying to find the next Jimmy Graham, but it's also a very realistic possibility that there isn't one this year. I would love for them to be one, but I can't say that there is.
And if you really say there is, I mean, really, let's face it, Rudolph is the only one who has that, you know, possibility of having that prime talent in this entire class.
Right, and everybody's saying that these big targets that are ex-basketball players who are learning the position. I mean, Jordan Cameron didn't play the position very long. He's still learning the position. So, yes, he's got the raw athletic talent, but so does Evan Moore in Cleveland, and he didn't pan out. We've seen many examples on the opposite side that people forget. You can't always look at the positive side. There's lots of guys that, you know, just flushed out.
Absolutely.
No, I was just going to say, I agree with that. And the funny thing is I play in a lot of leagues that have 1.5 for reception. And Kyle Rudolph and Kendricks have been both going, like, in the top 12. And it seems like right when one goes, the other one goes. And people are buying into this. And, I mean, I ended up getting Cameron like in the fifth round. And to me, I could put him on a taxi squad and let him sit and see if he actually does something or not. But to actually draft these guys and go, well, I don't have a tight end, I'm going to get him right here, when perhaps, you know, there's still like a Jared Cook lying around from Tennessee that maybe isn't on a roster or whatnot, that you might be better off. And then one of the next guys on the list is DJ Williams, who then he is obviously behind Finley. Finley gets broke so much, he might have an opportunity down the road, but this is a guy you have to be drafting in Dynasty to hope that he's going to get the opportunity once something happens to Finley, but there's no way that Green Bay lets Finley go even if he gets broke again this year, don't you think?
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I heard that was one possibility of why they grabbed that tight end there. But and DJ Williams, I did like coming out of college, but you know he got into a terrible spot behind Finley. But this is why it's really important. And I do play in those one and a half PPR tight end leagues, and I saw tight ends go flying off the board too early there as well. And that's why you really have to have your own list. You got to come in, you got to develop your list of what you're going to draft, and just stick to your list because you know. It may not be the year to draft a tight end. It may not just happen. So you draft somebody else who's a better talent and just stick to your list, and maybe you trade for a tight end later on. Don't reach for a position. You just draft the talent and let it fall however it comes out.
Hey, I'm a firm believer in rookie drafts. I always go for best player available. I never reach for a position. I always felt it was a bad thing to do.
Yeah, I was in a league very much like what you were talking about with the 1.5 PPR, 16-team league. I went up picking three. I'm quarterback needy. I will admit that on my team. But I drafted three quarterbacks in the first two rounds. I had five picks. I took Locker, Kaepernick, and I took Gabbert as well. I liked all three of those guys in those situations. I took all three. And that could set me for a long time and give me great trading value in a 16-team league where quarterbacks are always in need. Why reach for a tight end with a question mark when you got a better bet with these quarterbacks?
With a question mark.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in.
Sure, they all
let's face it. You talked before.
Tickets.
Well, you talked before about how bad everybody thought this tight end class is. I mean, let's think about it. Everybody going into the draft, as much as they knew Newton was going to be the first pick, everybody was also saying this isn't a great quarterback class.
That's true, but there's also I've looked at these top six quarterbacks, and the guys I liked everybody but Newton, and I kind of iffy on Dalton and Ponder as well. But I think Ponder and Newton were the two guys I didn't like. Newton's in a situation ripe to fail. They don't have they're going to throw him out there to the wolves, and they've got no talent around him. They're getting rid of the one target he might have in Steve Smith. He's going to be destined to fail, which is a shame because I feel for the kid, but. He doesn't have the track record of proving it on the college level, which is one of Bill Parcells' criteria for drafting a quarterback, which
right.
Most of the other guys have. The thing about Ponder for me, find me the big game he won. I can't find it. I can't look in his college career and say, man, I could really hang my hat on that performance right there. Yes, I hear this NFL-ready quarterback, most NFL-ready, but where was the big game he won? I don't know what that is, and I'm still looking for it. I think he does have a decent skill set, but he's got an injury history, and I don't see him taking a team on his back and carrying them over the finish line.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say was, look how long it took Shane Falco to become that winner. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
Come on.
Hey, all I'm saying is, you know what, I like Ponder. He's a smart quarterback. He's not going to be the guy that's just going to constantly throw down the field. He's going to have a controlled offense. And if they give him that controlled offense, I think he can do well in it. I'm not a big proponent of really any of these quarterbacks because I'm just not a big fan of them as a whole. And I've already come out and said that I think Cam Newton is a bust.
I would get behind it. I think Colin Kaepernick is going to surprise you. I really do.
See, and that's the guy. I think if anybody does, he's got the best chance just because he landed with Harbaugh, and we know what he can do with a quarterback. We know Kaepernick has, the athleticism. He just needs to fine-tune the tools.
And he's got receivers around him, a tight end, a wide receiver, and decent backs.
Oh, I wish I could say the same about the wide receiver. I am not a fan.
I was talking about Josh Morgan.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I like Josh Morgan. I can't stand Michael Crabtree. one of the most overrated. Oops, damn, there's another teaser for part two. And speaking of part two, this is the Twitter Fantasy Football Show, and we have another hour coming up. This is the Sports Geeks Radio Network. We have shows every night of the week. Make sure you listen at sportsgeeksradio.com. And we're going to come back in just a minute. We're going to have another caller join us, Mr. John Paulson of FantasyShrink.com and FantasyIntersection.com. So he's going to be joining us in a minute. All of a sudden, BTR's switchboard is going a little nuts on me, and I can't play the commercial, so we're not going to have a commercial. So, Jeff, why don't you give everybody one last chance to tell them where they can find you, and then we'll transition right over into the second hour of the show.
You can find me both at Football Guys and Dynasty Guys. As we head more into the redraft season, you'll find me mostly at Football Guys, picking every game during the year, doing lots of Dynasty reviews, and just general strategy and some trade talk, too. I think trade is a very overlooked, very big part of both Dynasty and redraft, because it's the only thing you really need another participant in and to manage your team, and you really got to get that dynamic down to really push your team over the edge.
Yeah, I love trading, and the funny thing is, if you're in a league with Andy, he trades with himself.
But well, he always wins the trade.
Yeah, actually, he always loses. That's just how bad it is, but, you know, we digress. Mr. John Paulson seems to be online, so let's bring him on. John, are you out there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, there you go, folks, and again, this is John Paulson from FantasyShrink.com, and now the all-new FantasyIntersection.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at FantasyShrink. And I didn't give this before, but again, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff Pasquino, Pasquino. Definitely follow him if you're not following him already. It's amazing. John, real quick, because you are a virgin to the Twitter Roundtable, welcome, first of all. Second of all, why don't you give everybody a real quick synopsis of what Fantasy Shrink is about and what Fantasy Intersection is about?
I've been writing fantasy football for about 5 years now, but Fantasy Shrink I launched in April. I was over on the Scores Report and decided to make a change, and so Fantasy Shrink will hold on close to all my original content. And then Fantasy Intersection, I'd like it to become a site for fantasy owners to find all the best expert content out there. So if you go there, you'll see articles from experts around the internet that I find on Twitter, you know, using various search engines and my RSS feed to come up with the best expert content all in one place.
Excellent, excellent. That's those kind of things are becoming more and more prominent, and that's good because there's so much information out there now that I think these, you know, clearinghouse sites and like what I'm trying to do with Twitter Fantasy Football, same basic idea, make it a clearinghouse site. I think that's great for fantasy football players just to be able to find the information in, you know, one place from so many different things. Plus, not only that, if you come across a new writer you haven't read before and you really like his writing, it gives you a chance to go back to his site, get to know them, read some more of his stuff. So I am a big proponent of those kind of things. So definitely glad to that. And welcome to the show. We got a bunch of good questions, so let's just jump right in. No time to dilly-dally. First question is, which fantasy situation are you staying away from in 2011? And, John, you get to go first.
Well, this may be low-hanging fruit, but I'm really going to steer clear of the Washington Redskins running back situation. I like Ryan Terrain if the Redskins hadn't drafted Roy Hugh. And then you have, of course, Mike Shanahan at the helm, and you never know what he's going to do. So I'm pretty much just going to steer clear of that unless we get some clear information in training camp.
Okay. How about you, Jeff? What situation are you staying away from?
Oh, so many to choose from, but I'm sticking with the low-hanging fruit as well. Those St. Louis wide receivers are just way too confusing to me. You know, pick whatever wide receivers of the week you'd like to think they're going to start, and more power to you, but I'll stick to another team. Thank you very much.
Well, hopefully once we get into training camp and preseason, it'll start to form itself into what it's going to be, hopefully, to give us some relief for those later drafts anyway. But I agree that right now there's just no way of knowing who's going to come out of this mix. Andy, you're up next. What situation are you staying away from?
Well, with the Carolina passing game and the wide receivers in St. Louis, you know, those are both junk situations. I'm not sold on Mr. DeLeo Thomas yet in Miami. I just have a feeling that they're going to get somebody in there that either they're going to bring back Ronnie Brown or they're going to bring back Ricky, or, you know, the rumors is getting D'Angelo or perhaps LeBron McClain or McGahee. I'm not totally sold on this guy. So I'm going to stay away from that Miami situation.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'm not sure Daniel Thomas is ready to be an every down back again. you know, especially if the lockout continues to go. I think that hurts McDonough, and I think when they do finally get free agency, they will bring somebody in, as well as keep either one of the Ronnie or Ricky combo. I definitely think they do that. Come on, let's face it. These teams know they need to have multiple running backs available to them, and any week we've seen it from too many teams where they didn't have enough depth and got killed by it. I'm going to jump in. You know, I had a couple different choices, but I'm going to go with the Chicago wide receivers. Johnny Knox, Devin Hester, Earl Bennett, even, you know, I won't even say his name. I'll save him for later. But there's another guy I actually like as a sleeper there. But, you know, none of these guys do I trust going into 2011. I know they should be passing the ball with Huck March there. I know that some of these is going to put up fantasy points. I'm just not sure who it's going to be. You know, we've already seen, you know, people out there saying, oh, Earl Bennett is finally going to cash in on the fact that he played football in college with Jay Cutler. You know what? It's taken him a couple of years and he hasn't really cashed in on that yet. I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, Cutler slept with he slept with Cutler's girlfriend in college or something, but it doesn't seem like they have a lot of cohesiveness yet. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out, but that's definitely a situation I'm staying away from. John, any comments on anybody else's choice?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that the St. Louis wide receiver situation is kind of muddy right now, but I mean, the reports that Josh McDaniels really likes Danny Amendola, and there's the, you know, the whole quote-unquote next Wes Welker talk, so I can keep an eye on that. I do like him in PPR leagues, you know, in the 10th round. And then also, you know, Mark Clayton played really well at the beginning of the year last year, and if he comes back strong and they re-sign him, you know, he could be their first wide receiver there. So I'm not really going to steer clear of the Rams.
Well, you know what? It's just hard to have any kind of faith in Mark Clayton. You know, those couple of games was literally only a couple of games that he had a couple of good games on. And, the kid hasn't been able to stay on the field no matter where he's been. I just don't know if I could have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, certainly injuries are a concern, but he did show a nice rapport with Bradford in those few games.
Well, you're right. I'm not saying he doesn't have upside, and if he does land that job again, he could definitely have it, but he just scares the bejesus out of me. Jeff, how about you? Any thoughts on anybody else's choices?
I like pretty much everybody else's choices. I'll throw out the other two that I had on my list that I thought might get mentioned but didn't, which was but the two running games in both New England and Detroit. I still want to see how those play out because they could be hot-handed in any given week and really scare, just wreak havoc with a fantasy lineup in any given week, especially the Patriots.
Well, Patriots I definitely had on my list. Definitely, I totally agree with you. I mean, there's people out there already saying Shane Vereen is going to be the one. At this point, there's just no way of knowing what Bill Belichick is going to come out with. So I agree with that. I'm not so sure I agree so much on the Detroit one. I just think Best is much better than Mikel Mashore. If he stays healthy, I don't think there's really an issue there.
Oh, I think between the tackles, though, I think Mashore is going to be the guy, and he could steal touchdowns away from Best, which will really hurt Best's value. I think that you're looking at a true committee ready to form with Best being your PPR guy and around the edge guy, and you're pounding between the tackles guy is going to be Mashore. But again, you know, the rookie situation, you just don't know with the lockout. But that's how I think that long-term that's going to shake out.
Now, I agree with you. I definitely think, you know, well, there's no doubt. Mashore is definitely better between the tackles. He could be that short yardage guy. He could be the goal line guy. But let's face it, that's really not Best's game anyway. Best is the guy that's going to score from outside the five, and he should be able to do it pretty easily. He's got those kind of moves.
That's true, but again, with all the weapons in Detroit with one football, that's another concern. But I think that I have to wait and see whether ADP start to taper off and settle into. But I don't know if I would reach for either Best or Mashore at this point, unless they were a sleeper in the eighth or ninth round or beyond.
Wow, you're not going to see Best land get anywhere near that.
I'm talking Mashore there.
Oh, Mashore, okay, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'm not saying we've seen Best get hurt, so I'm not saying Lashore has no value. I just think if they're both healthy, I think Best is the guy. But we'll see, and that's the fun part of doing this. So let's go on to question number two. This one is name two overvalued players. And, Jeff, you get to go first this time.
Well, I think there was quite an email trail based on a certain draft that's going on lately about one Mr. Peyton Hillis in Cleveland.
I've seen him being drafted as running back one in many leagues and, you know, a top 12 back. I just don't see the upside there. He was the offense for the Browns last year. There's way too much talk about from the coaching staff on, and plus his taper at the end of the year, that I think that he's not a running back one. He's a solid running back two, but there's definite downside to him and not a whole lot of upside. And the other guy I'm going to put on that list is Brandon Marshall. I think if Brandon Marshall is being drafted as a top 20 wide receiver, I don't know if I see it this year. He's been injured again. He had a rough offseason again. He's got quarterback issues. He's got really nobody else to challenge anyone deep. And there's questions at the running game, as you pointed out earlier with your questions on the new running back in town. So I think Brandon Marshall is outside that top 20, and I wouldn't take him there. He's maybe a wide receiver three, but he's going to be gone by then.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I agree with you. He had a rough offseason. I mean, he always seems to do that. But at the same time, this team is going to be built this year to move the ball and put it in the red, you know, from inside the red zone, something they couldn't do. And either Henning's going to be able to do it or he's going to be gone. You know, I don't know. I actually think I like Marshall this year. I think they're going to iron it out. We did talk about Thomas and how we don't think he's ready, but I also think that they do go out and get somebody like a D'Angelo Williams, and if they do, I think that solves their running back problems, because then I think that tandem is going to be pretty good, especially if they keep Ronnie Brown, which is, you know, what it seems to be leaning towards right now. I think that running back situation would be pretty good. And, again, I think they're going to put the ball up. I think they're going to finally, you know, start to use Marshall in the red zone like they're supposed to, like they should have. And I actually see a little bit of uptick for Marshall this year, but that's just me. You had two. Andy, you're up next. Who are your two guys?
I almost feel ashamed saying it, but in some of the leagues that have been being drafted in some expert leagues, Randy Moss. What in the world is anybody even looking at this guy, let alone he's getting picked in the 7th round, he's getting picked in the 10th round. Leave this guy the heck alone. We don't even know if he's going to play football this year. And how interested is he going to be if he's not the featured number one guy? Who in their right mind is going to give him that opportunity? I don't think anybody is.
No, wait, I got to ask you a question. You saw somebody draft him in the 7th round?
Yeah, Mike Clay did.
In the Draft Masters?
Mike Clay did?
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to give him so much crap for that. Come on, Mikey, take those freaking stats out of your head.
Well, it's his birthday today, so let's be nice to him, but it was idiotic.
No, screw that. He took him in the 7th round. He needs to get his head slapped.
The other one is Marquise Colston. This guy had a new knee surgery. I mean, right now with New Orleans, you don't know which wide receiver is going to be featured. Anyway, you know, it came out that Meacham had some foot injuries all last year, and now he's healthy. You get Lance Moore. You have a new running game. Colston's going to fall. He's falling off the cliff. I don't like to get guys that have knee injuries and same thing over and over again. I'm just staying clear of him as well.
You know, I wasn't a fan of Colston last year. I definitely had my concerns. But I have to think I'm a little bit higher on him this year because of the knee surgery. I mean, we've seen plenty of guys come back from knee surgeries now and play. I mean, Welker did it in, you know, amazing time. And Colston's going to have more time than him. And I don't care what you say, when Colston's on the field, he is that number one wide receiver for Drew Brees. I like Lance Moore a lot. I'm not a big fan of Robert Meacham. Meacham will get his big plays, his big games. Moore is a nice little, you know, crutch for Brees when he needs it, but Colston is the guy there. And right now, you know, on the current ADP is that Colston is being taken as the number 19th wide receiver. And you know what? I kind of like that value. You know, middle third round, you're probably talking a wide receiver too. I'd take that chance on Colston.
But the thing is, with Welker, that was his first significant knee injury. He came back from it. This guy is, it's not his first. It's the same issue with the knee. This is a reoccurring thing. I mean, they can totally rebuild the knee, and if he has a problem with it the very next year, This is a guy that's not staying healthy. I don't want any part of it.
Well, there you go. That's why we discuss this stuff. I actually get to go next, and I'm going to start off. I had a couple, but I decided I'm going to do the Green Bay tandem. First one is going to be Greg Jennings. He's being currently drafted as the fifth wide receiver taken, current ADP of like 2.05. You know, last year he finished as the fifth wide receiver, so that's nice. You know, 1,265 yards, 12 touchdowns. But in 2009, he was the 21st wide receiver because he only had four touchdowns that year. And a big reason why he only had four touchdowns that year was because Finley was making himself known as a red zone threat tight end. Well, Finley's going to be back this year. I'm not going to predict injury for Finley. I think he's going to be back. I'm projecting them to have a whole season. And I think if he has a whole season, once again, he's going to put a huge hurt on Greg Jennings' value. And I think he's being drafted way too high for me. You know, fifth wide receiver taken off the board. I don't think he becomes the 21st again in 2011, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he doesn't land somewhere in the 14, 15, 16 range with Finley healthy for 16 games. I'm just not buying it. And then the other one is Jordy Nelson. His current ADP is 7.11, you know, end of the seventh round, 32nd wide receiver taken. You know, everybody's so hyped up because of the Super Bowl and what he did, but he still dropped a couple passes, people. It's something he's been doing forever. But last year, I mean, he had 45 receptions, 580 yards, and two touchdowns. You know, people, to draft him before the eighth round is just ludicrous. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I like Jordy Nelson. I liked him better than James Jones. I think James Jones is gone, but I'm still not looking for Jordy Nelson to take that huge leap, and I think that's being drafted way too high. But that's just me. We'll go back around in a minute, John, but why don't you give us your two overvalued players?
Well, my first one would probably be Ryan Matthews. So he's going in the middle of the third round. You know, he's okay. He's injury prone, or has been so far in his 1 year. But, you know, the real reason I don't like him in the third is because of Mike Tolbert. Tolbert's a good runner. He's real strong. He's probably going to bolster some goal line carries. And I just don't see Ryan Matthews as a third round back. He's just going to be leading at RBEC. And then on the other side, the next guy would be Michael Crabtree. He's going in the fifth or sixth round of team drafts, and, you know, he's not participating in the workouts with the other 49ers. He doesn't have a really good rapport with Alex Smith. You know, maybe Jim Harbaugh works some magic, but I'm not buying him that early. Maybe he's seventh or the eighth, but, you know, fifth or sixth seems really early for him.
Yeah, and I'm totally with you on Crabtree. I am just not a fan at all. I just don't like this kid. I don't think he's ever going to be anything more than a mediocre wide receiver in the NFL, no matter how much talent he actually had coming in. Jeff, any comments on anybody else's choices?
I agree with the Colston. I think that Colston's a little bit overrated, and there's just too many mouths to feed, especially with Jimmy Graham coming online and getting a lot of more end zone looks. I agree with Ryan Matthews. I disagree on Jennings a little bit. I think Jennings is worth that second wide receiver tier, maybe not five. I could probably find five guys that are better, but I think 5 to 10, pretty reasonable. He's pretty consistent. As far as touchdowns and Finley taking them away, in Finley's four games that he played at the same time last year, Jennings had three touchdowns. So he had three touchdowns in those games. And as far as red zone targets, 15% of his targets were in the red zone last year, just like Larry Fitzgerald. This was a huge debate on Football Guys of late, with someone saying Jennings was overrated. But he's one of the most consistent wide receivers for the top. He's the top wide receiver for one of the top passing games. Touchdowns are erratic to predict. He's going to get 1,100 to 1,200 yards. The touchdowns could be four, they could be 12, but you can pretty much bet that he's a safe wide receiver one, at worst a high wide receiver two, which is a pretty decent pick for a late second, early third round pick.
Yeah, see, I'm not buying it. There's a few guys I would take in front of him. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's maxed catches, receptions is 76. You know, for a wide receiver one, I want somebody who's going to catch the ball a little bit more than that. Andy, any comments on these guys before we move on to the next question?
Well, I appreciate Jeff hating on Cleveland Brown, because being a Steelers fan, any time I can throw some dirt on on the Browns, I appreciate it. And, you know, Hillis, I mean, he did so much last year. And they're not building it around him anymore. They're going to try to get Colt McCoy, you know, going with Little and everything else. And they're going to have Hardesty. It's going to take some carries as healthy as he's going to be. But I think, and we know about the Madden curse. Everybody's going, oh, he's going to break the Madden curse. Madden curse has taken out much better talent than him.
Screw the Madden curse. Bunch of BS.
Well, we'll see what you're saying next year.
Talk about it.
We'll see what you say next year when it happens again.
Yeah, yeah, we will, yeah, yeah. When he goes off and has a better year this year than he had last year,
no
everybody's saying, I don't know how the heck that happened.
That's BS, and you know it.
No, it's not BS. There's nothing you could say that's BS here. The man showed he can play the game. Yeah, okay, he didn't finish out as strong as he liked, but he got a lot more touches than he thought he was going into the season. He's more prepared now. Hardesty, you know what? I like Hardesty's talent. I do. And I think if he could stay healthy, he could be a huge dent to Hillis. Problem is, I just don't think he's going to stay healthy for long. I'm sorry. You know, when you have that kind of knee issues and you constantly have to do that, you know what? It's something that doesn't go away. Take it from someone who knows. Been there, done that too many times to even think about it. When it starts, it just doesn't get any better. I just don't buy into him all of a sudden coming back and being able to play a full season or even close to it. So Hillis is still going to be the man. You could say about what you want about Colt McCoy and them wanting to get him involved and Greg Little coming. I like Greg Little. I think Greg Little can do something. But, you know, I also like I won't even talk about the other guy because that'll save that for another question. But I just don't see Colt McCoy becoming a huge offensive passing threat. They're still going to go through the running game. And even if Hardesty takes some of the carries away, I still think that's going to leave Hillis fresher, and Hillis is going to be able to finish stronger. So I'm saying it right here and now. I think Hillis could easily become close to last year's numbers. Wow, silence,
yep.
Cool. Okay, everybody agrees with me, as they should. So
no,
let's move on to the next question.
It doesn't really much matter.
You're right. let's see. Okay, next one is two undervalued players, and for some reason I screwed up the order on this. So, Jeff, you get to go first again. You should
right,
feel special.
I am, especially after that beat down on Hillis, which was unwarranted. I think two players are undervalued. I'm going to put Jeremy Maclin out there in PPR leagues. Everybody talks about Deshaun, and I'm a big Eagles fan, but Maclin is the guy to have. He's really the 1A to Deshaun's 1B. Both those guys get a ton of targets, and Maclin consistently puts up solid numbers. But you can get Maclin as a wide receiver 2 price, and he's really a wide receiver 1 in PPR leagues. So I really like Maclin. Another guy a little bit deeper down the line, it's a rookie. I think that Delone Carter in Indianapolis is a sleeper running back this year, and no one's really pushing for. Bottom line is I think he's better than Joseph Addai. That's just a talent evaluation. And we've seen what Addai does with a pair of fresh legs in that offense up behind Peyton Manning. So I think Carter is going to put up better numbers than Addai, just pure and simple. And if you can get a guy after 30 other running backs are drafted, that late in the draft, if you can grab Carter, that's a huge steal. He could be a steal of your draft. Those two guys are underrated.
Okay, now the only problem I have with Carter, and I like Carter, and I agree, he has a great opportunity. The only issue I have is the one good thing that Addai is great at. Well, he does a couple good things well, but one he does really good at is pass block. And we saw last year with him being out how many extra hits Peyton took. I think that especially, again, as the lockout continues, as Carter doesn't get that chance to build up that knowledge, I think we're going to see Addai last longer because of that.
Yeah, but Addai also isn't signed, too. But I agree. I think Addai is going to be your third down back, but I think your first and second down guy is going to be Carter.
Mm. Well, it'd be interesting to see how it plays out. It's definitely a guy I like, and I wouldn't mind seeing that happen because I've actually grabbed him in a couple of mine. Who was the first undervalued player?
Maclin.
I totally agree. I actually had my other choice for overvalued player was actually DeSean Jackson. I mean, the kid only had, 47 receptions last year. I agree with you. I'm a Maclin first guy in that offense by far. Andy, you're up next. Two undervalued players.
Two great choices at wide receiver, I had Jason Hill from Jacksonville and then Andre Roberts from Arizona. I think both of these guys showed a lot late last year, and I think they have the opportunity to get themselves being the number two in Jacksonville. You know, is Mike Thomas really a number one? No, probably not. It's probably more Mercedes Lewis more than anything else in the running game. And then with Andre Roberts, obviously you got Breston there, and I mean, who really cares? Because you got Fitzgerald on the other side. You don't know who's going to be throwing the ball, but he definitely was pouring it on towards the end of the year. And Jason Hill, you know, came into Jacksonville, you know, late in the season. It wasn't like he went to training camp with him and he was there the whole time, so he had to get acclimated to him. I think both of these guys are good steals, especially if you have a rookie draft that you can get free, you can pick up free agents as well in those, because I've gotten both of these guys, you know, towards the end because everybody wants their shiny rookies. If you need guys that you know that have the opportunity of being, you know, the second wide receivers on their teams, why not take a shot at them?
Yeah, it would definitely be nice to see Hill finally produce. He's been one of those guys that's been a teaser for a while now. I'd love to see him actually do something. But I agree with you. I mean, he's going to have the opportunity, I feel. I also agree with you. I don't think Mike Thomas is the number one wide receiver. That's going to hurt him. Okay, I'm up next. I'm going to start out with Thomas Jones. I'm not talking about a star here, but this is a guy that's currently being taken as the 56th running back. In the, you know, late 14th round. But yet, you know, say what you want about Thomas Jones, he finished as the 28th running back last year. Had almost 900 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns. If this is a guy you can get that late to be a backup, and we've already heard from Haley that he doesn't see any reason to change what he did last year, so Thomas Jones is still going to get the ball same amount of time. He's going to have those good games. I think he had, 6 or 7 games last year in double-digit fantasy scoring. You know, for a guy you can get that late, I think he's being very much undervalued because he's going to get the ball as much this year just because Haley's trying to keep Charles fresh. And then the other one for me is Chad Henne. And I know this is big speculation on my part. The kid's got to step up. He's got to step up his game. But I think he does. I think they're going to make some good changes. They have made some good changes already. Bringing in Gates to stretch the field, I think I like Gates in that position. I think he can do it. I think Charles Clay is going to be a playmaker for that offense if they use him the right way because he's very versatile. Hopefully they use him to that point. And I just think with Marshall Best there, even Hartline as a backup, and Gates, I just think that he's got a good set of wide receivers. If he can step up his game, he's currently being taken as the 33rd quarterback in all of the Draftmaster ADPs. I think he's got a chance. He ended up last year as a 22nd. I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up as a, 17th, 18th. Again, I'm not talking about this kid all of a sudden becoming a major starter, but I think he could be a solid backup if he can step up his game, and I think he will. So that's it for me. John, you're up next. Who you got?
Well, as the person that started the whole email chain with the Peyton Hillis pick in our mock draft, I really think he's undervalued in the early third round. I mean, you're going to be able to get him, if you pick in the first 5 picks and you get your stud running back and on the way back in the second round, you're able to get a good wide receiver like Jennings or Wayne or Fitzgerald or even Mike Wallace. And then you could turn around and add Hillis as your RB2. I just think your core is real strong at the start. For all the reasons you said, Jim, I really don't think that the running back 2 from last year in PPR league is going to drop out of the top 15, and that's where he's going now, RB15. So, and the other guy I like in the fourth round is Stevie Johnson. He seems like he's going late for what he did last year, and given that the situation is basically unchanged with Ryan Fitzpatrick at still a quarterback. He's another guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going in the 12th round. With the way the Bills play, they're always trailing in the second half, so he's able to post some nice numbers in garbage time.
Well, those garbage time numbers definitely help him. I can't fault it be there. I don't know. For some reason, I'm just not a huge Stevie Johnson fan. I'm not sure why. He had a good season. I'm just not buying it for some reason. I've been kind of – whenever I get to to that point in the draft where, and it's my turn to pick for some reason, I don't know if it's even conscious or not, but I always seem to find somebody else to take. So it is what it is, but that's just how it works. Real quick, back around the horn, Jeff, any comments on anybody else's choice?
I like the Jason Hill pick, but I just don't know if there's enough mouths to feed or passes to go around for the fourth or fifth option in that offense. And Andre Roberts, I couldn't disagree more. I think early Doucette is actually the better guy to have there. Every time both those guys were healthy, Doucette had more targets. So I think Doucette's a much better fit for that offense. That's just my opinion there.
Ooh, yeah, we're going to have to fight again. I'm an Andre Roberts fan. I'm not an early Doucette fan at all. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Doucette did more, but he knew more. He's been around more. He should have done more than he did. And I think that ultimately is what kills him. But I think what kills both of these guys is if Preston stays. I think that hurts both of those guys' values. So
yeah,
we'll see how that works out. Andy, how about you? Any comments on anybody else's choices?
I like the DeLone Carter pick. I made sure I have two drafts that I ended up getting him that I was thrilled. I got him at the 2-1 in a 14-teamer that I couldn't believe he was still there. I really liked this kid, what I saw out of him in the All-Star games and the little bit that I saw, you know, during the year of his game. He's just a freaking fire plug. If him, I just hope he's, you know, hanging out, cleaning Peyton Manning's car right now, that he is, you know, walking his dog for him, going, hey, here I am, you know, you can throw me the football, I'll take care of you, you know, I'll escort you to the mall and keep people off of you because nobody knows who I am right now. He just needs to get, if once he has Peyton's trust, I think this guy is going to be a major player because we know Peyton starts screaming and yelling at people all the time if they're screwing up. But if he gets somebody young, he trusts them, he's going to be lights out. He's going to stay in there, and he's going to be an impact this year.
Now, the only thing I have to say to that is that when he goes to do that for Peyton all the time, you know what happens? He finds Austin Colley standing there already.
Very true, but he can always hit Austin Colley in the head.
You might have to. but I agree with you. I mean, you know, I said that all last year about Colley, and I agree with you. I mean, if Carter can get a rapport with Peyton, that is definitely going to be huge. One other guy I think that nobody mentioned that's being undervalued in my mind is Dwayne Bowe. You know, kid had a phenomenal year last year, came out of nowhere, surprised everybody, no doubt about it. I mean, nobody saw that coming. And just had a phenomenal year. I don't really see a lot changing this year. He is the bona fide number one. There's nobody there. Demaryius Thomas ain't him. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. I do like Eric Decker to become the number two and do a little bit of damage. But Brandon Lloyd is the guy there. No matter who was that quarterback, it didn't matter. He just kept putting up numbers. And right now he's being taken as the 11th. Not 11th. I'm sorry. I just lost him. The 12th wide receiver coming off the board, and that, I think that's crazy. I just think that, you know, I would take him well before that. So, but that's just me. but let's go keep moving. We're already halfway in. Of course, you're listening to the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable for the Sports Geeks Radio Network. You can find us on sportsgeeksradio.com. Listen to us every night of the week. We always got something good going on. But let's go on to question number four. Two sleepers. Name two sleepers for 2011. And, Andy, you get to go first.
I'm going two rookie running backs here. Tywan Jones. We all know that D-Mac isn't Mr. Healthy. Even last year, he missed a couple games. I think this guy's going to have the opportunity to step in. And I don't think he's going to be a massive sleeper throughout the year, but I think the two or three games that he steps in for, I think he's going to be electric. And they're going to find a way to get him to carry the ball at some way, sometime. The other one is Jaquez Rogers, and I was really down on him before the draft, but him going into Atlanta, where they have been looking for a third down back, for a guy that they could kind of use a spread offense now. It used to be Roddy White, and then you had Tony Gonzalez. Now you actually have Julio Jones on the other side. And Julio Jones and Roddy White can make one of their, you know, lower-tiered wide receivers look a lot better, and everybody's going to be concentrating there, and you throw a little dump off, you throw a little screen to Jacquizz Rodgers, and this guy can run to daylight. I mean, there's been a lot of comparisons to MJD, which I think are greatly overblown, but I think this kid has the opportunity to perhaps, you know, catch 40 or 50 balls and maybe get to 700 or 800 yards combined and get himself, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. He's not going to be huge, but this is a guy that you may be drafting as you're in a redraft, maybe a 6th running back, and maybe somebody that you can get in the third round of a rookie draft that's going to have an impact this year.
Well, I got to say, I actually agree on Rodgers. I think they're going to get him involved in, you know, again, this is going to be one where he's going to need to be able to pass block to get on the field for those passing downs. But if he can, I definitely agree with you, he makes an impact. I think he makes more of an impact than Tywan Jones, only because Tywan Jones has a logjam in front of him. McFadden finally came out and had a great year. The team still likes Michael Bush, even though he really hasn't shown much. But I just think it's going to be a little harder for Jones to really give that impact right away. But I do think he's being undervalued. Let's see. I'm up next. So, cool. I'm going to start. I got a couple different people, but I'm going to start with my two wide receivers that I really like as deep sleepers. And one is Cleveland wide receiver Carlton Mitchell. I know I'm high on Greg Little, but, you know, I was high on Carlton Mitchell last year. I knew he'd be raw. I knew it'd take a little time. Muhammad Massakoi hasn't stepped up. Brian Rubisky is definitely done, hasn't done anything for the team. I'm thinking that Carlton Mitchell has a good chance to grab that other outside spot from Greg Little this year if he, you know, learned a little bit more of the offense, and I think he will. Again, I'm not talking about a guy who's going to go out and have huge numbers. This is Cleveland. This is Colt McCoy we're talking about. But I like him as a sleeper. I think right now he's not even on anybody's radar. I think he has a chance to become a viable, you know, wide receiver, probably 4 in deeper leagues going forward. So he's a guy I like. The other one is a guy that most people haven't even heard of yet, and that's a Chicago wide receiver who I said before I would stay away from except for one sleeper. Well, my sleeper is a wide receiver by the name of Antti Fantuz. Kid 6'4", 221 pounds. He's actually been playing in the Canadian League for the last 5 years for Saskatchewan. He's going to have a little bit of a learning curve. But this kid, you know, last year in 2010 for Saskatchewan, had 87 receptions, 1,380 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So he can play the game. Right now, he's a big guy, a strong receiver. He needs a little help on his route running, but he's got really good hands. So, I if anybody's got a chance to take over that number one role, I think Andy does. We'll have to see, you know, how it works out. The lockout is actually hurting him, too, because even though he's not a rookie in age, he's a rookie for the NFL. So, hopefully they get him in enough time for him to learn. But I think he could definitely be a surprise. John, for you, how about two sleepers for you? John? Did we lose John? Hold on. Oh, wait. John, is that you? You can't come on. John?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear
you.
Sorry. Switchboard
okay.
Freaked out again, I guess.
Well, I
give us two sleepers there, John.
Yes, we talked about Danny Amendola and Jason Hill already, so I've got two more wide receivers that I like. Anthony Armstrong, with Santana Moss probably leaving Washington, I think he could potentially be the number one wide receiver there going into training camp. He was 3rd in targets over the last 6-7 weeks, and he's a deep threat. And then also Ben Obobanu in Seattle. He came on down the stretch as well, and the wide receiver 2 position there is wide open. So I like those 2 players.
Absolutely, Obobanu has a wide open chance in Seattle. I mean, personally, I still like Deion Butler, but he just can't seem to stay healthy. I'd love to see him stay healthy and see what he could do. That would be interesting to me. Jeff, how about you? 2 sleepers.
I can't agree with that, Mitchell. I mean, you were going deep there, about deep on page 3 on my list. wide receiver four.
Well, I
four,
am
maybe
going
in,
deep. That's what I said. I'm talking about deep. This is deep dynasty stuff. I look at him as a sleeper.
All right. Well, I would go a little bit, not quite as deep, but I'd go with Eric Decker in Denver. I think that he's got.
Deep. I love Decker. Sorry.
I think that he's going to be a potential starter there for Denver. And again, that's a typical rookie gets hurt and everybody forgets about him. I think Dexter McCluster in Kansas City has got a good shot. I think he's going to be moving to the running back position. Could be playing a lot of moving the slot and some running back wide receiver. They're going to probably transition to a running back role. Transition away from Thomas Jones, who I think I don't buy him as being undervalued. He only had 2.3 yards per carry in the last four games last year. So McCluster will get more involved. He's going to be over that ankle sprain that cost him five games last year. So like Decker and McCluster.
I actually like both of them. I can't argue with each of them, but I still think Thomas Jones gets his carries. I'm not saying Thomas Jones is going to go nuts. I just think he's going to get enough to be where, if you take him that late in the draft, he's going to give you plenty of value, I think. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and be a stud. But I like both your choices, big time. I love Eric Decker. I liked him more than Demaryius Thomas when they drafted him, so we'll see how that works out. Let's see. Real quick, we'll do this one. Which rookie QB is going to have the biggest impact? And I actually get to go first. You know what, and I know Jeff's not going to like my answer, but I think Christian Ponder, I think he's smart enough that they may very well just put the ball in his hands and see what he can do. And with the players around him, and Peterson, of course, Gerhardt coming in for passing downs, hopefully they bring back Rice, which is a big part of this. If they don't, then it might change. But Harvin, Shanko, Rudolph, I just think he's got some weapons. If they give him the chance, I think he could, have the quickest impact. Let's see what John thinks. John, who's your quarterback?
I would go with Ponder, too, but since you talk about him, I would go with Miles to talk about my second guy, which would be Andy Dalton. I think he's got a good pair of receivers to throw to, and A.J. Green and Jerome Simpson and Jordan Shipley over the middle and Jermaine Gresham. I think that that's a good receiving core for him.
Okay, Jeff, how about you? I know you don't like either one of our choices.
I'd say for this year, Dalton's going to have the biggest impact. You could read it another way. Cam is going to have the biggest impact, but it'll be in a negative light. I think he's just going to tank because it's setting up to fail, just surrounding him with no weapons other than the running backs.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more. I mean, and they're going to start him, too. I mean, to fill seats, they're going to start him, which is just crazy. Let's see. Andy, for you, who's your biggest impact?
I'm going to say Locker. I'm going to say Locker just for the fact that he's a mobile guy. I don't – obviously, Britt's going to be, if he's not suspended or whatever he's going to do this year, craziness and with that. But he has a good tight end, obviously, in Cook, but he's going to be able to use and be able to roll out. Plus, he has Chris Johnson. Having Chris Johnson freed up Vince Young quite a bit. And this is a guy that likes to run, too, so – if Chris Johnson doesn't look like he's going to be able, they're going to focus on him in the end zone. I think Locker has the ability to roll out, score some cheap touchdowns that way, throw some little passes to Cook. He's not going to be great, but if you need a number two, a bye week guy, Locker might be the guy this year.
See, the only thing that scares me about Locker is I wouldn't be surprised at all if Tennessee brings back Collins and has Collins start with Locker learning from Collins.
And that very well could happen. And the reason why I didn't pick Gabbert, I think Gabbert is a guy that definitely could have a major impact this year if, some of the reports are saying that he can beat out Garrard. If the whole lockout was pulled right now, he'd have the ability to do that. And I think that Gabbert's not going to be able to get that job until like 6 weeks in, but I think Locker can get the job quicker because Collins can't get injured pretty easy. He's like a statue out there. So I think he's going to get knocked out earlier than what.
Okay, well, let's move on. I just wanted to point that out. That's just a concern I have. But we'll see. Let's go through question six real quick, and then we're going to jump over to On the Spot because I think we got some good pairings for On the Spot tonight that are going to be interesting. Name 2 second-year players that have had no impact yet that you're looking at having an impact in 2011. John, you get to go first.
Okay, well, I like Aurelius Ben in Tampa. He came on towards the end of the season. He's the third in targets over the last half of the season behind Mike Williams and Kellen Winslow. And what I like about him especially is his reception rate, up about 66%. And for a guy who catches, 15.8 yards per catch, that's a pretty good number. So I think he could emerge in his second season as a real viable wide receiver two for them. And as a second guy, I like Emmanuel Sanders out of Pittsburgh. As Hines Ward gets older, I think Sanders will step into that second role opposite Mike Wallace and catch a lot of stuff over the middle.
I like those two guys too, but I'm going to throw another name at you real quick that's actually on my list for all you Ben people that are following Aurelius Ben. Keep in mind Desmond Briscoe. This is a kid that could surprise in that offense this year as well. Very raw last year. I think we may see a little bit more of him, especially if Ben doesn't live up to his hype from last year. Just a name. Jeff, how about for you? 2 second-year players for you.
I agree with your comments, and don't forget Ben's coming off of a knee surgery, so he's got to prove he's healthy too. So, but my two guys, I already mentioned Decker earlier, so we're going to go in a different direction. I'm going to go with Jacoby Ford in Oakland. I think that guy he's starting to get a lot of heat right now. He came on late, very late for the Raiders. He went up being a wide receiver 4 in the final standings, but he's getting compared by his coaches to a potential Steve Smith in Carolina type player. I think that's a real good guy to go get in a huge upside. Another guy, New England did not draft a wide receiver. They don't have a deep threat right now. But Tom Brady does like to stretch the field now and then, so I like Brandon Tate, who really did not get much playing time last year, but I think the door is wide open for him to be a deep threat opposite of Branch and Welker in the slot. I think those are two guys to really keep an eye on.
Yeah, the only thing that scares me with the Tate thing is that they hardly used him at all last year. Even when they let go of Moss, you thought they'd bring him in and use him some there. And that just scares me off a little bit. I like the kid from when he came out of college. I think he's got talent galore, but something's keeping him off the field. That's just, I don't know, keeping me away a little bit. Let's see, Andy, how about you? Who's 2 players for you?
Well, I'd first like to say that Jeff took, from a previous question, Ari took that Dexter McCluster and Eric Decker off, and then you went ahead and you already picked Briscoe. So you guys already took 3 right off the top. Another New England wide receiver that was not seen from whatsoever was Taylor Price. And at least here locally, I live in Maine, there's been a lot of hype about this kid. They really like this guy out of Ohio. And also, somebody's been picking up steam that Stevie Johnson's been talking about is his teammate Marcus Easley, who was a beast in college, who was so injured last year, didn't even see the field whatsoever. But just to give the Buffalo another target that you got to think Mr. Beard, Fitzpatrick, that he is going to they're going to be throwing the ball all over the place. And those are the two guys that I'm excited about seeing.
Okay, and I'm going to jump in here last and say, let's see, I got a couple here I like. First is going to be Marcus Easley. Missed all last year, most of last year with the injury. But this
right
guy
just said.
Oh, did you?
I thought
this one you said somebody else. Oh, sorry. I was looking at something else as we were talking. So I agree with you then. Marcus Easley, stop jumping down my throat. Bah.
You've never done that to me.
David Geddes in Carolina. I mean, I'm not looking for this kid to go huge, but, you know, he could literally be the number one passing option in that offense coming into the season. And, you know, just the opportunity alone gives him a chance to step up. He's a big, tall receiver, you know, something like 6'3", well over 210 pounds. So he's definitely got the size to him. And, you know, he did a little bit of something last year with Jimmy Clausen, the bum. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Cam Newton, but he's going to throw sometimes. I think Geddes has a chance to step up. 2 of the other guys I'm definitely going to touch on again. Andre Roberts, I like. Again, I think if he gets a chance, I think he has a chance. Dexter McCluster is another one that I really love. And then again, Desmond Briscoe. So those are all guys for me, second-year players I think could explode this year. Let's move real quick on the spot. We only got about 12 minutes left, so we're going to do these quick. And basically, this is PPR scoring. I'm going to give you two players. You're going to tell me who you would draft and why. They're close in value on the current ADP, so it's going to be they're going to be tough. But we're going to start off with these ones. Andy, Aaron Rodgers or Mike Vick?
I'm going Aaron Rodgers. I don't care about the concussions. I don't care about the concussions. I'm not going to predict those. Vick plays reckless. He's going to get injured, and he's going to miss some time.
Okay, John, we got Drew Brees or Tom Brady?
I think I'll go with Tom Brady. I think his schedule is going to be a little easier this year, and he's a solid pick at quarterback.
Okay, Jeff, Peyton Manning or Philip Rivers?
I'll take Philip Rivers because I think he's got to throw the ball into the end zone more than Peyton Manning, who's going to actually get some run support.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still a Peyton Manning guy over Rivers, but could be. He should have, you know, Jackson for a full year. We'll see. Andy, Josh Freeman or Matt Schaub?
I'm going to go Josh Freeman just for the fact that Schaub, I think Schaub is, especially with the new defensive coordinator, that I think that he is going to get them into more of a ball control situation. They're not going to be throwing the ball as much as they did last year because they're actually going to have a defense on the field and they're not going to be forced to do that.
Well, they hope they're going to have a defense on the field. We'll see how the transition works for them. John, Matt Stafford or Eli Manning?
Oh, okay. That's actually a tough one because I think Stafford's got more upside, but I would go with Eli Manning. He's just really consistent. He's undervalued every year. He's always available, you know, in the seventh, eighth round. So I'd go with Eli. He's going to play 16 games for you.
Yeah, and that's my feeling, too. I mean, Stafford right now, there's just no way to count on him. Jeff, Jay Cutler or Sam Bradford?
I'll take Bradford to throw 2,400 times this year. I'd just like to say that this is a great show because I disagree with every single pick so far for the rest of you guys.
Well, there you go. And I'll tell you what, I'll disagree with that last one of yours, Sam Bradford. You know what, I'm going to take Jay Cutler just because he's going to sling the ball. I think they throw it actually a lot more this year than they did last year, so I'm looking for Cutler to go up. I mean, I like Bradford, don't get me wrong, but until they get that wide receiver situation fully firmed out and we know who's what and where and it stays consistent for some time, I'm not going to count on him at that point in a draft. Andy, Tim Tebow or Kevin Cobb?
Kevin Cobb.
Wow.
I think Kevin Cobb.
Still
actually
loving
going
that
to
Kevin Cobb Kool-Aid. I don't
well,
see it,
I'm
guys.
Well, I'm thinking
it
over
it.
The over Mr. Rapture because I had to say it again.
You did have to say it again. John, Mark Sanchez or Ryan Fitzpatrick? And I have a feeling I know which way you're going.
That's easy. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. There's no way I would take Sanchez over him. Ryan just throws the ball so much in the second half, and he's got a nice group of receivers to throw to, too.
Fitzpatrick had a couple of really great games, high-flying games, and then really tailed off. I'm not so sure I'm in a Fitzpatrick fan here. Jeff, Alex Smith or Chad Henne?
Alex Smith won't be starting very long, so I'll go with Chad Henne.
Well, he may not be starting very long either.
Yeah, can I choose none of the above?
Yeah. Right. And I'll tell you what, though. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we're talking about what Harbaugh can do with Kaepernick. You know what? Alex Smith was once thought of very highly. I wonder what Harbaugh can do with him.
They like David Carr 1.2.
Good point. Okay, let's change over to running backs. Andy, for you, Jamal Charles or LeSean McCoy?
Boy, that is a tough one. I guess I'm going to go LeSean McCoy just for the fact that I don't see Deion Lewis as stealing anything from him, and Vic's going to steal something, but I think that Thomas Jones would steal more.
Okay, I'd go with that. Not really a lot to steal from McCoy. I think Harrison's even out now. John, Rashard Mendenhall or Darren McFadden?
Oh, well, do I take in the tweets into account, or is this just purely football? I think I would go with Darren McFadden. I would live with the risk because he's so explosive, especially in PPR league. He scores so high on a per-game basis that you sort of live with the three or four games he's going to miss.
Yeah, Mendenhall's been drafting higher on average, but I agree with you. I mean, McFadden's upside for me is much higher than Mendenhall's. I would take McFadden. Jeff, Matt Forte or Steven Jackson?
Matt Forte. I think that he's going to be getting a lot of touchdowns for the Bears, and he's going to be he's very underrated. Steven Jackson, he's had years where he just doesn't find the end zone at all, and one of these years he's going to slow down, and this could be the one. I think Forte's the guy to go.
Ooh, I actually like Steven Jackson in Josh McDaniels' offense. I think he could be a beast again. But again, you always have to worry about with Steven Jackson whether or not he can stay on the field for 16 games. Andy, Javid Best or Ahmad Bradshaw?
I'm going to have to go with Best just because we don't know where Bradshaw is going to be. I mean, if Bradshaw gets back to the Giants, then sure. But we don't know that right now, so I'm going to go with a guy that definitely has a team and has a role, and he has a lot of receivers taking up space, so he's going to be able to find openings in the defense.
Okay, well, just as an FYI, everything I'm hearing locally is saying that all these beat writers locally are saying that they have no doubt that the Giants are going to bring back Bradshaw, and he wants to come back. Just so I'm saying. So let me ask you the question that way. What if, consider Bradshaw back in the Giants for this year, for 2011. At that point, who would you take?
Bradshaw.
Okay. Let's see, John, LeGarrette Blount or Jonathan Stewart?
Well, that's another one where you don't know what's going on with Jonathan Stewart's situation. Is he the RB1 or is D'Angelo Williams coming back?
Okay, let's take D'Angelo Williams out of the picture. Let's say he moves on.
Yeah, I would take Jonathan Stewart then. I think he's just a better runner. He's probably a little more involved in the passing game. And I think that he'd be the better back.
Well, he's not really a big passing guy. I think they get Mike Goodson in more involved for that. But, that one's a little shaky for me.
Yeah, I meant just LeGarrette Blount doesn't catch any passes. So I think
Stewart
might
catch passes. Yeah, but he's got a good kick. Okay, Jeff, Peyton Hillis or Ryan Matthews?
Surprisingly enough, Peyton Hillis.
Oh,
not a fan of Ryan Matthews.
I was trying one where I could work him in where you'd have to say him. Especially after that long email train I was reading this afternoon. Andy, Pierre Thomas or Mark Ingram?
Mark Ingram. By a long shot.
For just 2011, you would take Mark Ingram by a long shot?
Yeah. I think right now Pierre Thomas is the third down back. I don't think he's going to be much more than that, and he has to compete with Reggie Bush for that if Reggie Bush comes back. I think Ingram's going to get every opportunity to, I've said it before, I think he's going to have 1,000 yards combined. He's going to have 7 to 8 touchdowns.
I'll tell you what, the longer the lockout goes, the more I switch back to Pierre Thomas over Mark Ingram. I've got to be honest. John, Sean Green or Cedric Benson?
I think Sean Green, actually, this might be the year that he emerges. He's been playing that for the last 3 years, but he's ready to take the back seat, and I think Green could make some hay in that behind that offensive line.
I'm not sure I'm buying that Green stuff. We'll see. Jeff, Ryan Grant or Marshawn Lynch?
I'll take Ryan Grant there. It's really close. Lynch is all by himself, but I think he's got no passing game support. Questions at the quarterback. Ryan Grant can drop right back in. He was healthy to go in December. He's going to push James Starks and all that back to a memory. He's going to be the guy there.
Yeah, I think Starks has a really good chance. I mean, McCarthy, in the offseason, was saying that, Starks is going to be a star for him.
I know you'd take the opposite view?
Because that's my job as host. We only got 90 seconds, so we're going to do one quick round of wide receivers. Then I'm going to let you guys give a quick shout-out. Actually, you know what? Let's do the shout-out first, and then we'll go a little bit over time. So let's start. Jeff, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you real quick?
You can find me both at Football Guys and Dynasty Guys. As we get to redraft season, it's more Football Guys. Write tons of articles over there, lots of analysis, you know, award-winning site, all that good stuff. Lots to check out. Feel free to, we're free till July, so come on over.
Excellent. And, of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Pasquino. John, how about you? Tell everybody where they can find you again. Did we lose John again? I think we lost John again. Yes, we did. Hold on. No, he's still there. John, you still there? Switchboard is having fun with John. Well, John Paulson from FantasyShrink.com and FantasyIntersection.com. I highly recommend you check them both out. And, of course, is Mr. Andy Miley from DynastyBlitz.com, always giving you some of the best Dynasty info out there.
And also, I do have an article. I'm a guest on Football Guys that my Dynasty turnover was featured this week. And I'm very excited about that and was very excited to submit that. And Jeff was kind enough to give you some props on the message board, and I very much appreciate that, Jeff.
Well, you're quite welcome.
Excellent. Well, that's it, folks. We are the Twitter Fantasy Football Roundtable. This is the Sports Geeks Radio Network. Listen to us every night of the week. We always have something good going on, and we will be back next week. If you're listening in the download afterwards, you're going to hear a few extra. We're going to go just a couple minutes over, do a couple of wide receiver questions, and we'll see you all next week. Have a good night.
Good night.
So let's finish this out with do a couple of quick wide receiver ones, and I do think we lost John completely. So let's start with, Jeff, how about Reggie Wayne or Larry Fitzgerald?
Larry Fitzgerald from Kevin Cobb. He'll get lots of touchdowns, lots of yards. He'll be that top three wide receiver once again.
Oh, you're a Cobb fan too. Okay. Andy, Miles Austin or Vincent Jackson?
Vincent Jackson. He's going to be the number one option. Who the heck knows what's going to happen in Dallas? I mean, obviously, you know, that the quarterback likes Miles Austin a little bit more, but I think he's going to get pressure from the head coach and from the owner to get Mr. Bryant more involved. So I think you have to go the other way.
Ooh, I'm not a big Vincent Jackson fan. Boy's never had double-digit touchdowns at all. Let's see. Jeff, how about we'll go the other way for you. Jeremy Maclin or Austin Collie?
Jeremy Maclin by a long shot. Austin Collie may not even last this year, but I've got Jeremy Maclin as a wide receiver one. Collie, if he's healthy, is a wide receiver three.
A wide receiver three?
Yep.
Okay, you have to give me thoughts on that. The kid lit it up last year until he got hurt. He was the number one scoring fantasy wide receiver in the league.
Where was Dallas Clark?
Dallas Clark is still old and still capable getting injured just as much as Collie is.
Okay, but Dallas Clark comes back, and he's now the target, just like Finley will come back in Green Bay. Dallas Clark is the guy that he goes to. Without Dallas Clark, Austin Collie became Dallas Clark.
You know, I really have to go hard and look at that, but I'm pretty sure before Dallas Clark got hurt, Collie was still lighting it up.
Nah, that Blair White was doing more than Austin Collie.
No, no way. Austin Collie came out of the gates like a freaking bat out of hell. Oh, man, now you got to make me look this up. No way. Let's see, wide receivers.
One more hit.
That's okay. I just got to see.
While you're looking that up, I'll throw out one guy that we skipped. I thought that was somebody would grab on second-year players. Ben Tate, Houston. I think that guy is going to get overlooked, and I think that he could contribute this year.
I think he could contribute some, but, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Foster is still going to be the main do-all, end-all back. I don't see them using two guys too often. But we'll see. I mean, he definitely has talent. If he can stay healthy, he's definitely got talent.
Sure.
Oh, and first two out of the first three games for Collie last year. First game was 163 yards and a touchdown, and the third game was 171 yards and two touchdowns. He actually had 6 touchdowns in the first 6 games.
All right, then I stand corrected. Then I still like him as a wide receiver 3 because I think Garcon and I think Clark and I think Wayne are your top 3 receivers.
Oh no way! He's going to beat out Garcon easy. Guarantee. I'm sorry, I get crazy like that sometimes, especially when you talk bad about my boy Collie. Andy, how about you? Anquan Boldin or Michael Crabtree?
Can I choose neither? I don't like either of these guys. honestly, I'd rather take Morgan or Derek Mason, and I'll take Derek Mason. That's how I feel about him.
I would definitely take Boldin over Crabtree is what I'm getting at. So
he faded, though. He faded big time.
He did. I'm not saying he had a great year. At least he's going to be out there trying. I'm just not that sold on Crabtree. I would take Boldin over Crabtree. Boldin's done it. Crabtree hasn't.
I did pick a Baltimore receiver, though.
Say what?
I said I did pick a Baltimore receiver because I selected Mason.
Yeah, I know. Okay, let's do one more quick round. I think I got some here. How about Jeff? I got Calvin Johnson or Hakeem Nicks?
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. I thought that would be easy. There's a lot of love going on for Hakeem Nicks. I wanted to see if you were one of them. I mean, I love him too, but, I mean, Percy Harvin has played more games than he has, and that just scares me.
I think they're both, you know, top 10 wide receivers, but Calvin Johnson's one or two.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of people picking Nicks to be one. I don't know.
That's a little much.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Especially with the injury history he's already shown, I agree with you there. Okay, then, Andy, last one. DeSean Jackson or Mike Williams of Tampa Bay?
I'm going to take Mike Williams of Tampa Bay. I just think they're going to have more support, obviously, if Ben comes back healthy, also with Briscoe. DeSean Jackson just disappears so much. I hated it. I think he had, under 60 catches last year?
He had 47 catches. I had to go back and look. 47 catches. That just scares the bejesus out of me.
And I have him in a PPR league, and, yeah, I mean, I'm uncomfortable with him being my number one, but that's who I have.
At least in the first 2 years, he had over 60 receptions. You know, you can take that with the big play. I mean, he averaged more yards per catch last year. But, I mean, 47 receptions, just a bad number. Just got to wonder if that was just because of Vic being there and, you know, pulling the ball down and running as much as he did. But I think we're all in agreement that we're all a little bit down on DeSean Jackson. So we'll see how that works out. Jeff, I definitely want to thank you for coming on and being with us for, almost 2 hours now, talking fantasy football. We definitely appreciate it.
It was fun, guys. I appreciate it. Even with you opposing me on every question.
Well, that's my job. A good host is going to have contrarian views no matter what, whether he agrees with you or not.
Hey, as people who question my rankings, either my rankings get stronger or I get a better opinion. Either way, they're better.
I agree with him. That's what we're all about here. We're trying to give people different opinions, and that's why we do this show. So, again, thank you very much for coming on. That's Mr. Jeff Pasquino from Football Guys and from Dynasty Guys. Just always putting out great stuff. If you haven't listened to him, then you've just been dead, and you really need to wake up because he's just got it going on over there. And, again, thank you, Andy, for another great show. Thanks for being there and putting it together. And, we are done, people. I hope you enjoyed the fantasy Twitter roundtable tonight. We will see you next week. And have a good week. So good night, everybody.
Good night.